This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. The last major primary of the 2010 election season is behind us, and the big run-up to the November midterm vote is underway. Victories by Tea Party-backed candidates in New York and Delaware this past week continue to shake up the Republican establishment while Democrats fight to keep control of Congress. For analysis, we've invited back Karen Finney, a political analyst for MSNBC and a former director of communications for the Democratic National Committee. It's good to see you again, Karen.
Good to be with you.
And Matthew Continetti is back as well. He's associate editor for the Weekly Standard, a conservative magazine. Thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having me.
So far, the Tea Party has unseated 8 Republicans in Senate primary races across the country. Matthew Continetti, do you think the GOP risks becoming the party of the Tea Party?
Risks, actually, it would be a reward, I think, for the GOP, simply because the rise of the Tea Party has coincided with some of the best electoral fortunes for Republicans in decades. I mean, you look at just the generic congressional ballot now, Republicans outperforming their performance at this point in the cycle in 1994. You look at Republicans competitive in places like California, Wisconsin, Connecticut, even West Virginia now is coming into play. So there's been no downside for the GOP that along with the rise of the Tea Party.
But what, just to follow up a little bit, does the Tea Party's success kind of force Republican Party leaders to make a really difficult choice about the candidates they support? I mean, on the one hand, they don't want to snub a Tea Party candidate who might be unknown or untested, but nonetheless has wide support.
I think what it makes a choice for GOP leaders is to govern or to run as conservatives. And so if you talk to Tea Partiers, they say that the reason why the GOP had such horrible elections in 06 and 08 is because President Bush and the congressional majorities there in the beginning part of this decade failed to govern as conservatives. So one of the Tea Party's central missions is to reform the Republican Party in a more conservative direction. And so that's holding the GOP establishment's feet to the fire. And when you're a candidate like Mike Castle in Delaware and you ignore those lessons and you run in a Republican primary as a liberal, you're going to lose.
Karen Finney, do you think Democrats would be wise to try to exploit these little fissures that seem to be happening in the Republican Party?
You know, I don't think Democrats actually have had to, because I think it's sort of been laid bare fairly openly in the public. And interestingly enough, you know, this divide within the Republican Party actually started when Bush was still president. You heard many conservatives who were frustrated with the way Bush was handling things. Then we saw some of it during the 2008 presidential campaign. And I'd say, you know, the Tea Party movement itself had its real wake-up call for the Republican establishment in New York 23, the special election where you had a Tea Party candidate oust the preferred establishment Republican candidate. I do think that the extremism of some of these Tea Party candidates presents an opportunity for Democrats to really draw the contrast between the different philosophies and visions. I also think, you know, in the general election, we don't yet know how Tea Party candidates will fare. Independent voters don't tend to like that kind of extremism. Also, some of the rhetoric we're seeing from these Tea Party candidates is actually helping to motivate the Democratic base. So I think there's still a lot of unknowns in terms of how this narrative about the Tea Party will really play out during the general.
The Democrats are in races across the country trying to distance themselves from President Barack Obama and some of his policies, given the low approval ratings. Do you think that's an effective strategy?
You know, I think we're at the point in the cycle where each candidate, race by race, has to determine what's the best strategy. Because, you know, for example, in some instances, you do see candidates bringing in President Clinton or President Obama because, again, they're very popular with the Democratic base. In some instances, I think it's absolutely true that candidates are making the calculation that it's important to either distance themselves from that or, again, not let the race become about Barack Obama and or Nancy Pelosi is the other, you know, favorite foil being used against Democratic candidates. Again, I think what you're seeing Democratic candidates do is focus very much on the dynamics of what is happening in their districts and their states.
Right. So the Democrats are running a local election and the Republicans are running a national election. Matthew?
That's about right. But, you know, I think in this day and age, Tip O'Neill's old adage about politics is wrong. I think all politics is national in the era of 24-hour cable news. And I think it's fascinating to watch the Democrats run ads touting opposition in some cases to the health care bill, to big spending in Washington. You have the first Democrat congressman now calling for repeal of Obamacare. You have 31 Democratic congressmen circulating a letter asking Nancy Pelosi to extend all of the Bush tax cuts for at least a couple more years. I think when you look at the Democratic Party today, you see disarray in almost every place.
Karen, do the Democrats need their own Sarah Palin?
No. I don't think so. Look, I think, you know, it's ironic to suggest that the Democrats are in disarray when, again, so much of what this primary season has been dominated by has been the infighting on the GOP side. I mean, you know, I know that some in the Republican Party think that putting the Tea Party candidates in witness protection between now and Election Day is probably their best hope of winning, because they just don't want to have those ideological disagreements aired in public. Look, I think Democrats, you know, are doing what they need to do. I think it sort of makes my point, and that is, if you're a Democrat and you believe that a certain policy was not right for your state or your district, you should say that. And frankly, any member of Congress from any state should do that.
You can have a rebuttal, Matthew.
If there is infighting on the GOP side about whether the party should live up to its supposedly conservative principles, there has been no downside for the GOP to date. All of these battles that we're talking about have coincided with Obama's approval rating falling steadily and precipitously, with a Republican lead in the generic ballot, with independent voters shifting their allegiance from the Democrats to the Republican Party, and shaping up to be one of the best November for Republicans, at least in the past 15 years, maybe longer.
Matthew Continetti is associate editor for the Weekly Standard. Karen Finney is a political analyst for MSNBC and a former director of communications for the Democratic National Committee. Thank you both for coming into our studio.
Thank you.